Turn to the second epistle of Peter and read chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3.
Ja bih čitat će se iz druge poslanice Petrove, 3. glava. Druga poslanica Petrova, glava 3.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. I appreciated the thought that was shared there in the prayer as we pray to our Heavenly Father together, that when we come to the Lord and we petition him of our supplications and of our needs, that he often, and he does, he thinks bigger than we do, and we, you know, we bring our petition to him, our supplication to him, and he does far above that which we can ask or think. What comes to our minds and what our desires are, God has a bigger plan. God has a bigger vision. And so this morning hour, as we have gathered ourselves here together in the sanctuary and have God's word before us, that may it be that God has a bigger plan. God thinks a lot bigger than we do. And let his vision, let God's way work in our hearts, that as the Spirit would speak to you, that you might accept it from him, and that it might be a blessing to you in your spiritual walk of life. and that you might be able to glorify him and please him as he would have it to be. As we make a beginning here in this reading that we had together, let's begin with the last verse. This last verse says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ." This is what we are desiring, and this is the petition that Peter is supplicating and asking, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We grow in Him, and we grow through the Word that is that He gives us. And earlier in his previous epistle, he says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." This is how our growth happens. Our growth happens in the Word of God. As we partake of it, as we read it, as we internalize it, as we allow the Spirit to work in our hearts and in our minds of what this Scripture is speaking to us, we grow in Him. We put our mind to the Word. And when we put our mind to the Word, He works in us. And He blesses us. And He fills us with His Spirit. He fills us with His desire. And He fills us with this knowledge that we can have of Him, of His will, and of His ways. And again, to recognize that God does far above that which we would ask or think of Him. He does these things. And as we grow in this knowledge of Him, and as we grow in this grace, we see this truth to come forth in our lives. In the first chapter of this epistle, the Apostle Peter writes, "Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance," which means self-control, meaning that when we have a desire to serve the Lord, that we follow through, that we don't just easily give up or change our mind and say, "No, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to do something else." But that we would have that self-control, that temperance, that we would do the will of God and not our own will, and that we would add to that temperance patience, long-suffering, and then to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. He's saying, grow in these things. Grow in these things. Step by step, let this be in you. And then the next verse says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ." In this knowledge that He's calling us to, in this knowledge that we are to be growing in, and in this grace that He gives us day by day, that needed grace, that when we are walking in this way of adding to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, when we're exercising ourselves in these things diligently, then the grace comes pouring in. We're growing in this grace that he wants to impart unto us, graciously impart unto us, and in a very liberal and an abundant manner to grant unto us that we would grow in this grace and that His grace would be given unto us. But it requires a desire on our part to do His will and to follow in His way. And so with that in mind, of growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's consider this scripture that we read this morning. Apostle Peter begins this chapter by saying, "This is a second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So some thoughts that come out here in this first verse is of having a pure mind. It is what we fill our minds with is what comes out of our hearts as well. Out of our hearts, Jesus says, is what defiles us. But it's important of what we're putting into our mind. Are we growing in the knowledge? Is knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ being filled in our mind? Is that what we're growing in? And if so, then our minds are pure. And we are walking in His ways. And He is directing us. And we're not allowing the filth of this world to defile our pure minds. And so the Apostle Peter here is being very clear. Keep your minds pure. Stir up that pure mind. That pure mind that can be had through the reading of His Word, and we want to, as the children of God, as His followers, is to find ourselves in God's Word often, reading it, perhaps in the morning, perhaps throughout the day, perhaps in the evening, perhaps all three, perhaps just bringing His Word to mind continuously, because the messaging of this world comes strong. There's hardly anywhere where we can cast our eyes without seeing the messaging of this world. It happens online. It happens when we're driving down the freeways. It happens everywhere we're at. The messaging of this world wants to defile our mind. It's just being blared out at us. But we want to keep our minds pure. And to keep our minds pure, then, is we have to have the God's Word in front of us. And we have to be allowing the messaging of the Word to be in our hearts and in our minds. That we would be then thinking about this, that when we see that we are to grow in knowledge and that we are to have godliness in our lives, and we are to have patience in our lives, that when that messaging of this world comes, it simply just bounces off of us. It's not important to us. And we know what is truth. And we want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's very important that we keep our pure minds pure and not defiled or tainted with the things of this world. And he's saying, by way of remembrance. Certainly this morning, I don't think that anybody here is going to hear anything new. But we look back to the Word, and we remind ourselves continuously of God's Word. And we allow that Word to be stirred up into our minds, that it would be diffused into our minds, that it would be a part of our minds, and that we would remember once again what His will is for us. That ye would be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's saying, be mindful of these commandments. Be mindful of that which is written in God's Word. This is what we are to put our mind in. This is what we are to be preoccupied with, is what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? I hear what the world is saying. I hear what these others are saying. But what does the Word of God say? And that's what's very important, that we would be mindful of God's Word, that we'd be looking into God's Word to give us direction for our lives, that our minds would be pure, and that we would be exercised in His will and in His way. And so he's saying, the prophets of old have given a message, and the commandments of the apostles were also given as well. But their commandments weren't their own. It's not that the apostles said, well, here's what we say. No, they were confirming that which the commandments were of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these were the commandments that the apostles then reiterated as well. The Lord Jesus Christ said, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. This is the commandments of the Lord. And the apostles had confirmed those commandments. There were times when unique situations arose, and there were Jews that were believers that were imposing that the Gentile believers would keep the law of Moses as well. And it was so then that the apostles had to come together and they had to address this matter. And the apostle says, well, the Jews of old and we ourselves are not able to keep the law. And so it is important then that we would simply just command them that they would abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication. And if you do these things, you do well. And so these were the commandments that the apostles had given of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to be mindful of these things which are written in God's Word, knowing that the Word of God gives life. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. And so we are looking to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to stir up our pure minds and by our remembering of the Word of God. Again, we see messaging from this world that just comes up over and over. And as we are exposed to a message over and over, we somehow become numb to it, or we somehow accept it to be truth because we see it so much. But we need to be cautious that it's the Word of God that directs us, that we have the Word of God over and over in our minds, speaking to us that we would know truth and that we would abide in that truth. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And even today, though, they're not saying that there is creation. They're saying that there's evolution and or a Big Bang theory or some other thing. Again, if we are in the Word, we know that creation is truth. And so he's saying, I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And now remember that in the last days, scoffers shall come. And they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's continuing on as it ever was. But they're scoffers. And there were scoffers in the old time as well. As it was in the time of Noah, that God had finished with the evil that was in this world. It says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on this earth, in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. This is Genesis chapter 6. This is right here in the very beginning of the Bible. And the man has already become so wicked that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it's no different today. The thoughts of men are only evil continually. And God destroyed the earth at this time. And he destroyed it with water. And now we read in this morning's chapter that he's going to not only destroy the earth, but the heavens as well, because the sin is so rampant. And it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And it was so. It was so. Now, scoffers in the last time may say, well, all things are continuing as they ever were. There's nothing changed. Time's going to go on and on. But that's not according to the scriptures. God said, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. And that he did. Sodom and Gomorrah, same thing. There was a message given to them. Flee, flee quickly. This city is going to be destroyed. And the response was, as they thought, as one of them as that mocked them. They didn't think much of it. All things are continuing as they ever were. But no, God destroyed them. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in his wrath because of the evil that has come to pass. And likewise in our day as well, there are ungodly men, and the evil that is in this world, God will one day say, it is enough, and he will destroy it. But yet there are scoffers who are saying, all things are continuing as they ever were. There's no change. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. The men were settled on their lees in Jerusalem. They had come to the point where their heart had crusted over. It was hardened. That's what it means to be settled on their lees. That it would all just settle, and when it settles, it becomes hardened and crusted over. Their minds were not stirred up. We are being called to be stirred up. And these men of Jerusalem are saying, God's not going to do any good. God's not going to do any evil. We are settled on our lees. And it was so that Jerusalem was destroyed there because of their sin. And so it is likewise for us today. There is sin in this world, and sin is rampant, and we see it all around us, and God will destroy it. God will destroy it one day. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. It perished. Peter's reminding them and stirring up our minds as well that that word, when God gave it, that the earth would be destroyed with water, it happened. That world perished. And he's saying, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by that same word that God said, I will destroy it, that same word is coming again, and he's saying, it's that the heavens and the earth are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Ungodly men. Men who have sinned. Men who have rebelled against the Lord. Men that said there is no God. Men that say there's evolution. Men that say that all things are continuing as they ever were. It's reserved, the heavens and the earth are reserved unto fire against this this day of judgment. And so he says, but beloved, and now he's addressing us, and he refers to us as the children of God, as beloved, multiple times in this chapter. He's saying, but ye beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, is in 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. There's a promise that the earth and the heavens will be destroyed, but the Lord is not slack concerning that promise. It's not that he's late, or maybe he's going to change his mind about it. He's not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's desire, that we would all come to repentance, that we would repent of our sins, that we would recognize that Jesus Christ had to come here upon this earth to make an atonement for the sins of all mankind. And God did that in his love for us. And that we would turn from our wicked ways and that we would follow him. And he doesn't want any to perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says it this way, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Growing in this knowledge. Knowledge that God wants everyone to be saved. God has no pleasure in the death of a sinner. God wants all to be saved. There is room in heaven for all. God wants us all to be in his presence. All of his creation. And that's his desire, and that's why that day hasn't come yet, is because he is long-suffering to usward. Just in the same manner, we are to be patient as well as we grow in this grace and in this knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to grow in this knowledge, and he wants us all to come to this knowledge of the saving grace that we can have in Christ Jesus. And so 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. It's hard for us to even imagine such a great disparity between those two values of how short one day is and how long 1,000 years is. But to the Lord, it's all one and the same. He's outside of time. We're bound by time, but he's outside of time. And he just wants all to be saved, all to come to repentance, and to be saved. That's God's desire for all mankind. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come. There is a promise that the day of the Lord is coming. It is a dreadful day for those who are not ready, those who have not repented, those who scoff, those who say, well, time is continuing on, and God's not going to do any good, and he's not going to do any evil, and time's just going to continue on. But the day of the Lord will come, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. This is truth. And Peter's saying here, grow in knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and know that the heavens as we know them will vanish with a great noise. And we can imagine what that great noise would be like. It's hard to even think that an eardrum would survive the great noise of the heavens passing away. And then, just as a side little thing, the earth is also going to just melt away. After the heavens shall pass away with that great noise, the earth is also just going to melt, and it's all going to be burned up. And this is a promise of the Lord. This will happen. This will happen. Just as the flood took place, just as Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction of those cities, took place, just as Israel was destroyed because of their disobedience, this will take place. This will take place. God knows the time, and he's long-suffering toward all mankind, not willing that any would be a part of this destruction that is to happen. And so the exhortation now comes for the readiness of this great and notable day of the Lord. And he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Everything we know, everything we experience as humans here upon this earth, it's all going to be gone. All going to be gone. There's nothing going to be left. And because of this, now, what manner of lifestyle should we have? And what godliness should be in our lives? There should be now a distinct difference between the scoffers of this world and us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to live a lifestyle that says, this world's not my home. I know that the day of the Lord is coming. I know that everything's going to be burned up and gone. Everything that we experience, everything we know, all the mountains, the hillsides, the lakes, the rivers, the oceans, the stars that we look up, when we see the Big Dipper, we see all, it's all going to be gone. Everything that we experience in this life, it's going to be gone. The Bible says here that it will happen. This is the day of the Lord, a dreadful day for those who are not ready, yet a glorious day for those who walk in godliness and who live a lifestyle that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Holy conversation, a holy lifestyle and godliness. Doing what God would do. Doing things that would be well-pleasing to the Lord. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We're looking for and we're hasting unto this day. We want this day to come. We are so looking forward to it that now everything that we experience in this life, all the disappointment, all the temptation, all the sin that's around us, as we see the evil one working his power, that's all going to be done. It's all going to be done. And we're looking for this day of the Lord wherein he will do his will in righteousness. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is what we're looking for, this new heavens and this new earth. A new earth that doesn't have nursing homes, doesn't have hospitals, doesn't have any disappointments, doesn't have any sin, doesn't have any temptation. This is what we are looking for. And we are rejoicing to see that day and knowing that it is coming soon. This day of the Lord is coming soon. That's what we are looking for. And our minds are being stirred up to this, that the things of this world, we should hold them very, very lightly. Very, very lightly. They're all going to be gone. And they don't matter. We sometimes put so much effort on the things of this life. Too much effort. And yet, we are to be stirred up in our minds of God's word and of his will and doing what he would have us to do. Being exercised in his kingdom. Being spent and spending for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of his kingdom, because God wants all to come to repentance. And where the Lord leads us, that we would share that truth with all mankind. And so he says, now, wherefore, because of these things, again, beloved, dear to him, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. This is what God wants of us. And perhaps if there's anything that we remember from this morning is this verse here, that we should be diligent, that we would be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. These three things. In peace. Having the peace of Jesus Christ ruling in our hearts. Jesus Christ said, "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He gives unto us his peace. And we are to dwell in that peace. And in Hebrews, we read that if I can't find it now, but essentially it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. Be found in him in peace. God loves the whole world, and he doesn't want one to be lost. He wants all to dwell with him. And if God loves everyone, then likewise we are to love everyone. And if he desires his peace to be in us, then he wants his peace to be in them, and we should dwell in that peace. And so we are reminded by the scriptures, and our minds are being stirred up, that we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And he says, without spot, without spot. Be diligent. Give painstaking effort into walking in this godliness and in this way that he would have us to go. Put your mind to it. Think of the scriptures. What would God have me to do here? Put our minds to it. And he's saying so that we would be found of him in peace and without spot. Without spot, having that purity in of our mind that the first verse speaks of. Stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. We are to be without spot, without that blemish, without defilement, but that we would allow our minds to be thinking upon that which is good and right, true, honest, just, lovely, pure. That's what our mind should be thinking on. And then if we do so, that we would be then without spot. But it takes diligence on our part. It doesn't happen haphazardly. We have to be intentional about walking in this way. Be diligent. Be diligent. It doesn't happen easily. And then he says, and to be blameless. How do we be blameless? How is it that we can go through this life and just simply be blameless? Well, again, the Word of God has direction for that. The Word of God says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Stop the complaining. Stop the strife. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless. This is how we become blameless. That we, if we do things without murmurings, complainings, and disputings, strife, arguing, that we could be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This is what we're living in, a perverse and wicked nation. And we are to let our light shine. And we can do so by being blameless, not murmuring, but doing what he would have us to do. And so he says, an account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. The Lord could have come back already and said that the sin is too much and it's over with. And he would have been just in his way. But the long-suffering of the Lord is allowing for salvation. And so we are being called to this salvation, called to repentance, called to putting away sin and evil of this world from our hearts and from our minds, and walking in his way that we might have salvation. He speaks here of the Apostle Paul in some of his writings, that those who are ungodly, they change the meaning, they rest, they change that meaning of the Word of God, and they do it through their own destruction. And then again, he's referring back to us, and he says, ye therefore, beloved, again, that strong union of love and care for the believers, one for another, ye beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. It's possible. It's possible. We can go sometimes maybe through a week and barely in the Word. Barely in the Word. We get up in the morning, we have our prayer, but it's kind of quick because we've got things to do. And we run through the day, and we don't bring any recollection of His Word into our minds. We're not thinking of Him. And then we get to the end of the day, and we're just exhausted. We have a quick prayer, and we jump in bed. And He's saying, beware, lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But He's saying, grow in grace, and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. We can only grow in Him if we partake of Him. We can only grow as we consume. We can't grow if we don't consume. A baby won't grow if it doesn't consume. We need to consume of the Word of God. We need to consume of a godly lifestyle. We need to walk in His ways that we can grow in this grace. And let's be diligent to be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Amen.
How easy it is for our thoughts and our conversation to be focused upon this world. Just like gravity pulls everything to the earth. It's so easy. You just throw a ball up in the air, it naturally comes down. But we have been challenged by the Holy Spirit and the Scripture that our minds would be stirred up, and that we would not let those things that we've heard from the prophets and the commands of the apostles to become settled and to fall back down and to become hardened. How will that take place? We've been given much instruction. How will our diligence look so that we would not be settled on our knees? It will take, as we have been encouraged, a focus upon the Scripture. It will take time in prayer. It will take an intention to bring about the Scriptures and our challenges in living out this Christian life that we have had in this previous week, to bring it up with each other, to share and to learn from one another, to find encouragement and help, and it will take the grace of God, which we are to grow in, which we are to seek, which we can find. We have a season. We're blessed with a time. And this world, we may think that things are good, and life is good, and that means that God doesn't care, and he's okay with what I do. But God has given us this day and our life to occupy in His vineyard, in His kingdom, until He returns. And He's given us all something to be busy with. So may we be encouraged to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be encouraged to be diligent. And may we give thought, not to be anxious and worried, but to expend the effort to consider, how will I handle things differently? How does God want me to pursue Him more intently so that I would not simply fall back into the old routine, but be changed by His grace? For His honor and His glory. May the Spirit work in our hearts. May He direct each of us according to His perfect will, that we would not be forgetful hearers of the word that we've received this morning. May God bless His word. Amen. Amen.